It is now my pleasure to introduce a good friend, lead author as Warren Ballinger. Welcome to stand up.
All right. You know, this is the very first AA meeting I ever went to, was in this room, and I was scared to death. And I'm scared to death today for different reasons. But I deeply believe that each of us has a very unique and important story. And I hope that my story tonight can give you some hope. And that's all I ask. I was born a child that was afraid. Was afraid and anxious. And it's, you know, my ego doesn't want to face this, but from a very young age, I had problems. And when I was 7, I had to see a psychiatrist because I was having night terrors and walking in my sleep and screaming bloody murder, and nobody knew why. And fortunately, I grew out of that. And I never could find anything really wrong. And then after that, I started having severe migraines. So I remember, I had memories in school, throwing up in the hallways or throwing up in the classroom and just being messed up. And, you know, just, I guess I was one of those kids that people worry about. But from my perspective, I was so nervous and anxious and afraid. When I got a little older in my teenage years, I was depressed and started getting stomach ulcers. So I was internalizing a lot of stuff. But I wasn't placed in a family that knew how to handle that or knew how, they knew how, they had some qualities that made it work. But they didn't know how to handle it, and I certainly didn't know how to handle it. When I was about 17, 18, well, a little bit younger, I was about, I was a teenager still, and a wonderful youth pastor and his wife took me under their wing. And they helped me see the compassion and the love I had inside for other people and for my higher power. They also helped me develop some leadership skills. So I had this piece, they're very kind of two sides of me. This one side that was so afraid and anxious, dealing with depression, and this other side that helped me really kind of bright spots. Well, a man saw those bright spots, another youth pastor, and he fell in love with me, and I thought I was falling in love with him. So he was 10 years older than I was 18, and we got together. And my parents were obviously very against it. He was married. It caused a lot of problems in the church. So we moved away. And so that feeling of guilt and shame started building up in myself, and not knowing how to deal with that either. We had a wonderful son, and he's now 32 years old. And but when he was born, that morning was one of the highlights of my life. And I remember the sun coming up over the stairs. I was at Kuya Delta, and I knew it was a very special moment. He is a very special person. But I developed postpartum depression. And, you know, now looking back, I see that my brain has some weaknesses in it. It developed through my life different issues like depression, like feeling suicidal, like things that I needed, maybe medication and more help for than I was getting. So I had postpartum depression. I fought treatment for a long time. And during that time when I was feeling so suicidal, cutting on myself, didn't want to live, but I kept it together for that son that I loved so much, I found alcohol. And that alcohol could take that pain away. It could take that pain away and make me feel okay. I could start fantasizing about things that I wanted out of my life. I could make my life different without alcohol, and it was wonderful. And I used it some, but it didn't seem out of control, even looking back now. But I did start fantasizing a lot because I was growing, I was starting to get treatment, I was starting my career as a nurse. I was getting confident, and I was seeing that this relationship to this man was not right. I needed to get out of there, and so I did. But unfortunately, at that time, my son chose to live with his dad. So then some more guilt and shame started building up in me. Fortunately, I fell in love at that time with a wonderful man, and he is still with me. He has stuck with me through the worst of my alcoholism, and he's a Normie, and so I feel very blessed in that way. So we got together. My work was getting more and more stressful, and so I was finding that alcohol also could help me relax and go to sleep at night. So day in and day out, that alcohol, those wine bottles became my friends. I became more and more isolated. I didn't meet people. I didn't meet God. I had my ego, I had my talent, I had my career, and I had my bottle. And I could, for a while it seemed okay, but as the problems of alcohol started to come into my life, and I felt my body physically needing it, I could barely make it to 5 p.m. because of the shaking. My eyes were bloodshot, and I was telling people I had allergies. I didn't have allergies. I was drinking. My blood pressure was going out of the sky. I had to be hospitalized. It was out of control. They thought I was having a heart attack. I didn't know to tell the doctor I was drinking daily, passing out nightly, with a husband that loved me and was praying for me, but didn't know what the hell to do for me. You know, it got worse and worse. It started with my friends. It took away my problems, but at the end, my body was addicted. My emotions were addicted, and I didn't see any way out. I wanted to die. I was depressed. I was on alcohol. I was on Ambien, and I didn't know who to reach out to, and it was getting worse. And I had a job that was, I was supervising a lot of people, I had a lot of responsibilities, and I was trying to put everything I had into that job, but every night, I was blacking out. And I don't know what happened, but God gave me my higher power, and one morning, I woke up, and I just decided I was tired of feeling like shit every morning. And I don't know where that came from. Maybe it was my husband's prayers. Maybe it was my grandmother that had died, and she was an angel in my life now. So I reached out to a counselor, and oh man, things are still together so fast for me. She knew about an outpatient recovery program that we had also had at that time, and I got into that, and that helped me, because for me, alcohol was so much like a habit. And what I've learned now, especially as a nurse, my brain pathway, when alcohol gets into my brain, I'm addicted. And I can't put it in my system anymore, because that brain is still addicted. And it's always going to be my whole life long. And there's no treatment for it except for what we have in these rooms. And that's what I've learned. So it was helpful for me to go to the outpatient program, so that I had to go to AA meetings, and this was the first one. and I had to go to the outpatient program, and I didn't have to cook dinner, which was a big help for me, because my first Thanksgiving, it was like, how do you make cranberry sauce without brandy poured into it? And even today, I was cooking the cranberry sauce, and, you know, if you're married to an alcoholic, even if they're sober, you're still kind of nervous about it. And my husband's like, does that smell like alcohol? No, it's the cranberries. But, you know, everybody's a little jumpy because the disease never goes away. So, I started coming into these rooms, and I learned how to live life sober first. I learned how to make it through the holidays without drinking. I remember my first Christmas going home to my folks, and they all drank, and I wasn't anywhere near telling anybody in that family about my issue. There was nobody in my family or my relatives that I knew that had this issue. So how, you know, nobody's going to understand, and I wasn't ready to talk about it. So I learned how to go to a restaurant. How do you go to a restaurant and not get a drink? I have social phobia issues. How do I go to a party and not have a drink? All these things I learned from in these rooms. I've listened to the stories of other people, just like you're listening to my story tonight. And I heard how other people do it. And I heard sayings, like my sponsor tells me when I'm nervous tonight, she goes, let God walk in the room first. So then one of her sponsors is here, and she's standing at the door like an angel, and she says, let God walk in the room first. And those are the miracles that happen in this program. I didn't think AA was like that. But miracles can happen. And through learning to live sober, I started getting well again. I got off all that blood pressure medicine except for a little half a pill. I'm out working out again. I'm taking care of myself. I'm reaching out. And this is the hardest part. I'm slowly learning what it means to be a friend and what it means to reach out to other people. That I'm still working on. That's hard, but there's miracles that have been happening in my life. I'm not saying life is easy now. There's some really difficult challenges in my life now. And there are things that I would have always drank over in the past to make them go away. And now what I have to do is reach out to somebody or feel the feelings. Oh, God. They're scary feelings. And I still get those feelings like, I don't want to have these feelings, I want to die. And I'm learning they tend to come later in the day when I'm more tired. Or I haven't been taking care of myself. It's amazing how in these rooms I learn little things about this word called halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Or thirsty. Thirsty is a big one. For me, if I'm thirsty around 5 p.m. in the day, I've got to make sure I get something to drink. Because that is the trigger for me. Those little things, if I'm angry at somebody or resentful, those brings up feelings that eat at me. And it says in the big book that resentment is an emotion that we as alcoholics do not have the luxury to just sit there with. Because it's going to eat up suffering the other person. We're angry at them. We know we're angry at them. We're resentful. It eats it up. And then what do? We feel like a drink. You see, I'm learning skills that I wish I'd learned when I was a little girl or a teenager, but I didn't. Well, I'm learning them now in my late 50s. And that's just my story. I'm learning that that if I can get to sleep, if I can get that book open, lay in bed, I used to think I just couldn't, I had to drink because I definitely knew I could fall asleep. And then when that didn't work anymore, I took Ambien with it. Well, that was smart. But what I'm learning now is if I can just maybe say some prayers and get to sleep, the next day things look brighter. That's the other thing I wanted to talk about with you is, you know, when I was drinking, I deeply believed that people that prayed a lot, went to church a lot, had needed to have God in their life were the weak ones. And because, you know, I was being moved by my ego and my bottle. Now I'm finding that it takes a hell of a lot more courage to feel my feelings, to deal with my problems, and to have faith that something that I can't see, that I can't really understand, yet comes into my life with these moments of miracle, that takes a lot of courage. And miracles have happened to me. Miracles of people coming into my life. Miracles even frequently, I worry a lot about money. And for good reason. And, you know, I said, God, just give me some hope. And what shows up, this company shows up out of the blue. I hadn't heard from 6 months and they want me to do some projects for them. Just little catch-ups like that happened. Or last night, my husband and I were on the golf course yesterday. We thought, we're going to have a time to ourselves. It's a beautiful day. We're both playing pretty good. And it's one thing we can do together. And then we get this call, his dad's being rushed to the hospital. We've had a life on life terms. So we put the golf clubs away and we rush back so we can help his stepmom and help his dad. And the hospital was being the normal hospital, you know, the stupid system with insurance and everything else. And I know, you know, I'm a part of that system, but I was so angry at the whole system by the time we left that emergency room, 6 hours in the emergency room yesterday. And I get up this morning in my daily reading book that I read with my former sponsor is about anger and letting go of anger. Okay, I need to hear that today. So I guess part of what I'm learning in this program that I had pieces of it before I became an I used alcoholism with my life and then became so addicted and destroyed by alcohol is that if I open myself up to my higher power and say I'm willing to try, miracles do happen. And they say, stick around for the miracles. I'm still very private about my recovery, partly because of the work I did in this community. But I'm learning that one of the greatest things I can do is to reach out to those who are still suffering. And sometimes those who are still suffering have more years of sobriety than I do. Sometimes they're new to the program and they're frightened. I remember when I first got here, I felt like I didn't have a brain. I couldn't think clearly. I felt so foggy. But I just did what people asked me to do, step by step. I didn't know why I was doing it. I didn't know if it would work. But God, one gift God gave me was willingness. The other thing is I had to let go of my pride and my ego. I feel sometimes like we are given this disease for a reason. At least I was. I wasn't finding the answers that I needed to find without the disease. You know, and now I feel that I'm finding some answers in my life that I couldn't find without this disease, without you, without my higher power. I know now, like I shared earlier, that I can't make this disease go away. When I first got here, I wanted to make the disease go away. I know I can't. I know if I take a drink, that my brain is going to go boing, and it's on. It's on for me. Because I'm addicted. And that's the way my brain is going to function. And for other people, it's other substances. But our brains are all set that way. So, I also know that when I have strong emotions and feelings for a bad day, I want that drink. And it's harder to fight it off. So I learned that I have to do certain things to keep myself safe. And to keep myself away from alcohol. And the same kind of things I have to do is I have to make it to meetings. I have to hear your words. I have to see your faces. I have to remind myself that I'm a part of you. I can't use denial and think that I don't have this disease. Another thing I have to do is I have to connect with others. I have to do daily readings, and I have a daily reading partner. And 3 times a week, we make a call at a certain time of day, and we're both doing the same daily reading out of the book, and we talk about it and what it means. And we become very close friends through that. I have to listen to others' ideas of how they handle the stress. And when I'm really in trouble, I have to pray, and I have to reach out to others. I had a moment a few weeks ago where I was in a poor old me state. And now I've learned that the person I was with that day was dealing with some really stressful, hard, core life problems that day, and I didn't know it, and I wasn't there to help her. You know? But there's nothing I can do about that now. But what I learned that day is when I start feeling sorry for myself and not be aware of what I can be grateful for, what happens is I want to drink. And that day, I wasn't in my cellar, so I didn't have a lot of freedom. I was on my own. And I went to this restaurant to get dinner, and I had prayed to God to keep me safe from alcohol. Well, when you pray for things, you get them. So I'm sitting next to these two co-eds from the university in that town, and they're having a very intense conversation that you couldn't ignore, especially if you're sitting close to them, and then one's talking about how she's had a DUI recently, and her family's going to disown her, and she's, you know, just really, really upset, and she's going suicidal, and her friend is treating them like crap. Friends, I don't know, but it was definitely a difficult relationship. But all of a sudden, all I could do was pray for that girl that had the DUI and that was feeling suicidal, because I didn't read something like that. And you know what happened with that? Boy, I forgot about myself. I got out of my own head, and I could focus on somebody else. That was a gift from God again, I believe. Went to bed, woke up the next day, and felt grateful to be alive and grateful to be sober. That's another trick I've learned from you in this room. When I'm feeling like, what a bum day, you know, and it's getting worse by the minute, or I'm feeling angry with myself or others. Other people in the program are talking, okay, it's time for you to do a gratitude list. And I remember times sitting there, I hate the heat here. And I was in a bad space one day, and I remember just thinking, I'm thankful for my air conditioning in my car. That's what I can think of. But most of the time, I can start rattling off so many things I'm grateful for. And most of all, I'm grateful to be sober. I'm grateful to have my life back. I was on my way to death. I deeply believe that. And since then, I've seen people with this disease die. And it could have been me, and it still could be me. So I am going to keep listening to you in these rooms. I'm going to keep remembering those steps, and when I feel that craving for alcohol, I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to say, God, keep me safe from alcohol today. That's all you got to do today. And then tomorrow, that happens again, keep me safe today. And I do that a lot. Not that I have a lot of cravings. It's been four, almost 5 years for me now. It gets easier. You know, you learn new habits. You learn how to have fun without alcohol. You learn how to even have Italian food without wine. I never thought I could do that. I can cook. I eat the cranberry properly without the food and without drinking the food. But they're sacred miracles because there's miracles in each of your lives. And your higher power and you can go and do whatever you want to do. Whatever is out there for you. Because we need you. Not everybody makes it through this disease. You know that. And we need you. We need all of us that can make it. So thank you for having me tonight. Are there any questions?
I was on my first sponsor. You know the story.
In my outpatient recovery program, there was a woman that had attended the same outpatient recovery program before me, about a year or so before me. And they were putting a lot of pressure on us to each find a sponsor. And I didn't know what the hell a sponsor was. But I just kept looking at different women out there, and I didn't know. And like I said, my brain was not working. It was still getting well. And they asked this woman to come speak to us, my group. And when she spoke, I thought, oh my God, she reminds me of my grandmother that I was close to. And she was Scandinavian, like my grandmother. I thought, I don't know. But then I went to a meeting, and she was sharing her experience straight post, like I am tonight. And I thought, well, I'm not good enough for her. She's too classy. You know, she wouldn't want to be my sponsor. So, but they encouraged me to ask her, so I asked her, because I just was doing whatever they told me to do. And she said, oh no, I can't. And I'm like, oh okay. You know. Well, I guess she went back and told her sponsor, and her sponsor said, oh yes, you can. And she is now like a sister to me. And she's moved away, and I have a new wonderful sponsor. But sometimes you need a little help finding that special person. And since that time, I now have three awesome sponsees. And boy, that work, I recommend it. It's not easy, but because you don't know what the hell you're doing. that you just pray and you listen and you just be there for somebody else. And you know what? That's something I had to learn how to do, because I didn't have to be there for the bottle, but not for somebody else. So that's how I did it. Any other questions?
How long can I do it?
It'll be 5 years in April.
Is there one step that's particularly interesting or important to you?
Going through the steps, I found very fascinating and humbling. I had been in a lot of therapy during my history, and as suicidal as I was for a while there, but these steps are something else. It's like your higher power is right there with you. And for me, doing those amends, I'm glad you don't have to do that in the beginning, because I would have really messed it up. But I learned that I could forgive people that I thought in no way I could. And I was carrying a lot of anger toward a couple people, and I was able to forgive them. And then I also had to write some letters to people that had died. And I had to forgive myself for some of the things. I had to give my amends to someone that had died and died young. And the healing that happened from becoming aware of my part in things and then being willing to accept that and share it with someone else, that takes a lot of courage, but miracles come from that. The other one is, I think, important, is the 10th step. And that's the step where, on a daily basis, you look at your strengths and your weaknesses of the day and how you function that day. And helps me catch my character defects when they're going awry. Not listening to my husband, ignoring him. That's a good one. I do that. You don't have to shake your head that much. I got a lot of work still to do. So thank God I've got it. Thank God I'm here. Yeah. That's a very good question. I go to a meditation group. It's an AA meditation group, and I've learned to meditate. I find if I can do that on a regular basis, I have a calmer sense about me. I don't know. I still take medication for depression. I think my brain is going to need that, probably. And, as I watch people get older, I'll probably need a little bit more as I get older, but that helps me with irritability and depression. But thank God there's medications out there. I went through a period where I was searching around for the right medication, and I was feeling very hopeless about that. But everybody's brain is unique, and sometimes they have to take some time to find the right one for you. And if that's happening to you, don't give up hope, because they finally found it for me. So that and exercise It's huge. I'm probably addicted to exercise, but the part is because I'm also addicted to bakeries. So, not all your character defects don't go away. But you can enjoy them more now. Thank you.